You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Monday, January 2nd, 2017. That's right, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King Scott Angle, Corey Parson with the day off today. And, of course, Tony Sincotta. We go until 10 a.m. Eastern time until the fantasy best friends forever. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy end of football season, everybody. Happy playoffs, everybody. Tony Sincotta, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing well. You know, it's a crazy day in the NFL yesterday. You need a little Rex Burkhardt or Zach Ertz to be successful.
You sure did. Was DFS successful for you yesterday?
No. It didn't go well yesterday. I had a little Rex Burkhardt, and I had a little bit of Zach Ertz, but not enough. It was just all over the place when it came to DFS playing. I think when you look at Week 17 and you think about your season-long fantasy leagues and the reason you stay away from it, it was a perfect example of yesterday. I like the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions game.
Right.
And just didn't enough, not enough fantasy points there last night.
Yeah, we talked about that game being big. We thought Atlanta, New Orleans would be big. That turned out to be a high scoring affair, so that was good. But it was a fun day around the NFL. Interesting day. Obviously, we wondered what the Giants would do, and for the most part, they played everybody outside of Odell Beckham yesterday. Paul Perkins goes over 100 yards. You didn't see that one coming. But it was a fun day around the NFL, and I am very excited. Playoffs are here. We know the matchups. We know the times. We are ready to go, Tony.
Oh, I can't wait for the playoff football. It's nothing better. This is when we come back to being a fan. So all the people that played fantasy all year long, and now you get to the playoffs, it's about being a fan again and your team winning. So you can put up your little little flag if you bought one of them, or if you have some football cards. I get excited. Get a fathead. Go out and get your favorite fathead of all the teams out there. Get your Alex Smith fathead.
Get that Alex Smith fathead ready to go. The Chiefs are officially the number 2 seed in the AFC. All roads, of course, lead to New England. And you kind of feel like, Tony, as a New England fan, because that's what you are now with the playoffs here, kind of feel like you like your road.
Oh, it's kind of crazy. I look at the NFC way tougher to get your way to the Super Bowl than the AFC. I really look at it, and we don't respect the Kansas City Chiefs.
Nope.
It's definitely the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots in the AFC.
Yeah, and that's what it should be. Steelers, of course, a different team on the road, so you know we'll see if they can even make it to New England. And then on the other side, Dallas and Atlanta. Atlanta, a lot of people called them out all year long, as fraudulent, their defense sucks. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. But what I do know is they played well down the stretch, won the games they needed to win, unlike Washington, which we'll get to in a moment. But Atlanta wins the games they need to win, and they're the number 2 seed in the NFC.
That's the problem, right? When you think about it time and time again, it's about the games you need to win. And how inferior is that Redskins team?
Yep.
Compared to every other team in the NFL, like they had a couple occasions where they could clinch a playoff berth, and it came up empty. That's insane when you think about it.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible that Washington, really multiple times, like two obvious examples of controlling their own destiny in home games that they should have won. Monday Night Football against Carolina comes to mind. Yesterday against the Giants, who weren't playing for anything. And Washington came up small. That obviously falls on the quarterback, Kirk Cousins, which is going to be a large discussion today and this week, no doubt. And Jay Gruden. So do you think the Redskins, Tony, overreact with Kirk Cousins after yesterday's debacle? And do you think that's another team's major gain?
I think at first they're going to overreact, and they're going to figure out what else do we have to do with this situation. Like, where can we possibly get a quarterback?
Right.
And then they secure Kirk Cousins because there just isn't enough quarterbacks going around. So I don't think people will be in love with Kirk Cousins, and he might have cost himself a few dollars. I don't think it's going to be a whole lot of dollars in the whole scheme of things when it comes to the National Football League because of the lack of quarterback play. So I think it gets stuck in Washington.
Yeah. I think so, too. I think so, too, for the exact reason that you mentioned, simply that, you know, look at their other options and like, you know what? This Kirk Cousins thing, not so bad. It's not so bad after all. Kind of like him. Gets us where we need to go. So, playoff matchups, as I'm sure you already know, but if you don't, we'll tell you. First game, Oakland and Houston in what should be a barn burner, Tone. A barn burner.
Oh, God. Oh, that is going to be a game. Sebastian Janikowski might be the MVP of.
Yeah.
So he'll be a guy that'll get fired up about that. I don't know.
You know what's going to be cool? You know what's going to be cool with that? Is that the backup quarterback for that game for Oakland is probably not on the roster yet. So you have somebody that hasn't been there all year is going to get a playoff game check and then one injury away from being the starting quarterback.
That's the craziest thing when you think about it. The Oakland Raiders, it seemed like they had so much confidence in Matt McGloin yesterday when they went into that game. And now their whole season is turned around by one position. And if people don't get it by now that the quarterback position is all that matters when it comes to the National Football League, this is going to prove that out. The Oakland Raiders had an amazing season. And yet, it could be down to really one position. That's it.
Yeah, it's so true. And that's why you see teams just trade bevy of picks and throw bevy of money at quarterbacks in the draft and at mediocre quarterbacks in free agency. Because that's it. That's what it's all about. Like, that's why Brock Osweiler makes $75 million. Because if he's a top 16 starting quarterback, right, which we decided Kirk Cousins is, give or take, you know, a couple spots. We decided Kirk Cousins is the top 16 quarterback. Bill O'Brien would kill for Kirk Cousins. You know, kill. And this is why Brock Osweiler makes $75 million. Because if he just has a league average quarterback, you were that much closer to a Super Bowl.
It's crazy. Based on the reports yesterday, it looks like Bill O'Brien's job could be in jeopardy.
Which you love. You hate Bill O'Brien.
No, I kind of like him. And I kind of feel bad about the whole situation there. I think, if you look at that Houston Texans roster, he's done a great job with that. But I can't figure out why his job is in jeopardy. Is it because he stuck with Brock Osweiler too long? Or was it because he was part of the let's pay this guy? Like, how the hell is his job in jeopardy?
Right. So that's what I don't really know how his job's in jeopardy, to be honest with you. Because I can't. So, like, you watch the games with Houston. And Bill O'Brien, you question a bunch of things, which I think is normal for any head coach. But I can't decide if, like, I'm impressed with Bill O'Brien, like, getting to the playoffs with, like, the third year in a row with no quarterback. Like, oh, it's really impressive. Like, nice job by Bill O'Brien, like, winning a crappy division and just getting to the playoffs with nobody. Or, like, you're a terrible quarterback evaluator and you can't, like, find one that's good. Like, you went out and got Brock Osweiler. You drafted Tom Savage. Like, I don't know if it's O'Brien or Rick Smith, the general manager. I think that's what I have to figure out to decide if Bill O'Brien deserves to be fired or not. Like, this is the same guy that, like, stuck with Gary Kubiak for, like, 45 years, right? Like, he's not firing Bill O'Brien.
I don't know. And it's interesting. His name's popped out yesterday.
Yeah.
And, of course, the San Francisco GM's name popped up yesterday.
Yep, Chip Balke, goodbye. Yep.
Yeah, not Chip Kelly. So we'll enter. Interesting to see Chip Kelly. I expect him to go in that situation.
Yep,
so
he's gone. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a big day of firings today.
Yeah. I think we already know, as you said, we'll get to the firings a little bit later. But yeah, we already know Trent Baalke and Chip Kelly gone in San Francisco. Gary Kubiak is expected to retire today. Mike McCoy in San Diego, we wondered if he would have a job. They said, remember, it was amazing, Tony, like all these reports in the morning come out. Oh yeah, Mike McCoy, they're going to talk to him on Friday. Oh, they're not talking to him until Friday. That's pretty interesting. Maybe he'll have a job. Boom, fire on Sunday. So it's just like, all these teams just getting ahead of it, and there's a lot of NFL openings this year. A lot of jobs up for grabs. We're seeing a lot of new coaches next year.
Yeah, I think when you look at the whole coaching aspect, the LA Rams kicked it off because they got rid of their coach, you know, 3 weeks prior to the season's end. So they wanted to get a head start on the coaching search. Now everybody's trying to jump in as quick as possible.
Yeah, everybody trying to get involved here. So We'll talk more about coaching openings later on in the program, who we think goes where. Early predictions, obviously, since no one's even come close to doing anything. We'll talk about Anthony Lynn with Buffalo. And I mentioned Kirk Cousins and what he did yesterday, how it would affect his job going forward. But what about Anthony Lynn, Tony? Maybe we should start there. As the Jets rough up Buffalo, Buffalo's a big favorite. Everybody thinks the Jets have given up. They stink, which is, you know, all true. And then Buffalo goes into New York. Anthony Lynn goes from running backs coach to head coach in, you know, a blink of an eye. Everyone says Anthony Lynn's going to be the next head coach of Buffalo. Gus Bradley, the next defensive coordinator, because as Adam Schefter put it, they're a ticket, kind of like Donald Trump and Mike Pence. And Buffalo just gets walloped by a brutal New York Jets team who always seems to win in Week 17 for some godforsaken reason.
And the crazy thing is, right, if you look at the Jets play the last 2 weeks of the season, they would have been a guy going into Week 17 and said, oh, they've given up, they've cashed in, they're checked out, they're looking until next season already, and yet they put the hammer on the Buffalo Bills. That's not a great, great thing for the coach, but I think it's done. He's going to end up being the coach. I think he's going to be the coach. He's got the job, and they're not going to look at the interim situation there.
Okay.
But unfortunately, Doug Marrone won't be a guy that's going to get the interim coaching job because in Week 17, the Jacksonville Jaguars finished the season much like they had during the year.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting you say that. Doug Marrone, interim head coach for Jacksonville, hoping to get the full-time job. He goes out this morning. He will be going to L.A. to interview for their head coaching job because nothing excites a fan base, as you know, Tony, like Doug Marrone does. So Doug Marrone going to get interviewed in L.A. I'm sure Mike Smith will be back in Jacksonville interviewing. We heard his name bandied about yesterday and previously for that Jacksonville job. And Doug Marrone, with Jacksonville yesterday, loses to Andrew Luck and the Colts 24-20, and you have to wonder if Chuck Pagano saved his job yesterday with a win over Jacksonville to get to 8-8.
I think there's a chance that he saved his job and that he'll have to fire all his coaches.
Okay.
And I really, when you tell someone they have to fire all your coaches, that means we don't want to fire you, but we hope you quit.
That's so true, actually. That's so true. We're stripping everybody from you. So basically, if you don't win next, it's completely on you. You have nobody to blame, right?
That's exactly what I think is going to happen in Indianapolis. But the problem is the general manager. I mean, you go back and look at this Indianapolis team. The offensive line has been an issue for years, and yet the Philip Dorsett pick is going to be something we're going to be talking about time and time again. And you can't even address the offensive line when you're the general manager and you have Andrew Luck at the quarterback. What is going on?
Although, did you see Andrew Luck celebrate yesterday?
He's very good celebrating.
It was one of the funnier things I've ever seen. Seriously, he celebrated like he won the Super Bowl, and I always assumed, and maybe I was just wrong for assuming this, that Andrew Luck was kind of these, like, one of these button-up guys that was, like, funny and, like, you know, he's like a fist pump or a couple fist pumps. He went absolutely crazy on the sidelines after the game-winning touchdown to Jackie Doyle.
No, it's the craziest thing. Andrew Luck, of course, you go to Stanford University, right, and everybody think he'd be a guy with the Argyle sweater, and you're going to get excited. Not like Benny Riccati, but a different kind
of
sweater.
Yes, of course.
It seems like he's kind of with the beard and the whole thing.
Yeah.
I guess redneckish.
Redneckish, yeah. But where, I mean, I know he went, obviously went to Stanford. Where is he from?
It's from his mom originally.
That's a good point. So he was born in D.C., went to high school in Texas. Huh.
Oh, there's the problem right there.
Let's see. Well, his dad, obviously, was the AD in West Virginia. Let's see. I don't really know where he grew up, to be honest with you. Lux went to Texas. He grew up in Texas, Germany a little bit, London, it seems. Lived a lot of his life in London. Huh. And Houston.
Really?
It's interesting.
Do you think he gets excited about the games over in London?
I don't. But I mean, you know what? It's possible he does. It's possible he gets up for it. Yeah.
Yeah, he might be able to go back to the the elementary school that he went to and participate in that. Do you think they have elementary schools in London, England?
I do. Yeah, I think that makes sense for them to have elementary schooling.
Do you think he was based on his Stanford participation?
Yes.
Do you think he had won a spelling bee in London?
Well, he spent early childhood in London and Frankfurt, Germany. He attended the Frankfurt International School, so it might be in Germany. May ask these questions.
Well, in Frankfurt, Germany, I hope he had some hot dogs.
I hope so, too. Perhaps a Frankfurter?
Yeah, I keep thinking about Frankfurts when it comes to Mr. Germany. What the hell is going on in Germany? Well, like, is that a place that you would... no one, when they think about going on vacation, says, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to Germany.
I don't think that's true. I mean, it's definitely not as sexy as like Paris or London or Italy, right? Like those are definitely like sexier places. But I think people like to go to Germany as well.
Do you know any of your friends that ever go to Germany?
My girlfriend's been to Germany.
Really?
Yeah. She went to Berlin. She went to Berlin for Springfest, which is a big beer drinking day in the spring.
What about Amsterdam?
Oh yeah. I may be going to Amsterdam this summer actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
And what are you going to do there? Will you participate in any of herbal growing?
I think the plan would be, so our preliminary plan would be potentially, we go to the Anne Frank House, because that's in Amsterdam, you know, Jewish history. That's a big spot. Across, from my understanding, after a couple people I spoke to over the weekend, across from the Anne Frank House is a must-go-to pancake place. They're known for their pancakes in Amsterdam.
Really? Now, yes. Are you a syrup guy?
Yes, I like syrup. Yes.
What kind of syrup do you like?
Maple syrup.
Yeah, that's pretty standard.
I thought so. So then, after that, there's this like a Heineken. There's a whole big Heineken factory that I want to go to. Heineken Brewery. Yeah, Bavona actually just texted me about that. Heineken Brewery, right there from the Van Gogh Museum that my girlfriend would like to check out, and then probably some pot smoking.
Yeah, I think that Chris Bavona also has participated in that as well.
Yes, I think so too. Hey, let's take a break. We're going to come back. Scott Engel will join the program then. We'll talk some NFL coaching. We'll go through these games from yesterday. We'll kind of just, you know, we'll have a free-flowing conversation. It's a new year. It's a new day. Get excited, people. We're going to go over the opening lines here, obviously, for the first round of the playoffs. Already dropping, so there's some big bets coming in. We're going to talk about all that and give some New Year's resolutions this morning. It's a fun show. It's a new show. It's a new year. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We return here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Greg Sussman, Tony Cincotta, and all blue and orange today, Scott the King Angle. Good morning, Scotty. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Tony. Interesting weekend. I think I was more compelled by what happened in the NBA than what was happening in the NFL. It's like James Harden with that incredible game against the Knicks. I was over at my brother's house on Saturday and watching the highlights of Harden the night before. I said, man, they're going to have trouble handling him tonight. He had a historic game. And then that line by Isaiah Thomas, I think it was on Friday, 52 points with like zero assists.
Yeah, I have checked out of the NBA for, it was New Year's, right? I checked myself out for a weekend. Got to get back into DFS, probably it's a new year, right? Football season's over. So I've checked myself out of the NBA. I watched a lot of college football over the last few days, Tom. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. We had some great college football games, but the Harden thing was 102 fantasy points in DraftKings.
Oh, he got over 100!
Yes, 102 fantasy points on DraftKings, which is absolutely amazing. That was a way to go into 2017 was with James Harden, and anytime you look at you don't see it too many times that a guy in DFS that's going to just shock you with a crazy number that you've never anticipated or never thought. There's no way you could ever put any projections somebody scoring 100 fantasy points.
I can't believe it. I've been waiting for someone to get to 100. I'm so excited that he got there. That's fantastic.
102.
Hey,
yeah,
Tony,
crazy.
How about CJ McCollum last night, though, with like Lillard out? It's just like that guy was scoring from everywhere, especially like on penetration. Just like they couldn't stop him last night. And like ever since Lillard went out, the minutes have been up, but just you know, the guy is like looking like a first rounder.
Oh, he absolutely is. If Damian Lillard wasn't there, he would be the guy that you would be drafting in the first round. And if you're playing on DFS and you can use him at the shooting guard position and then he gets to play point guard, the whole thing is when you think about putting together a fantasy roster, it's about opportunity. It's about guys that touch the ball. And now taking a shooting guard and moving them over to point guard is a huge, 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 people don't even understand. It's a huge upgrade. And I think with McCollum, the one thing is that he's still getting priced as a shooting guard, so he absolutely has to be in the lineup for the probably next 3 or 4 games.
There you go. A little NBA for you here on a Monday morning, January 2nd. Hey, the Rose Bowl is today. I bet Penn State's happy they're in that. I'm just kidding. Especially with Ohio State getting walloped on New Year's Eve by Clemson 31-0. So everyone talks about in the NBA, Golden State, Cleveland, they are inevitable for their third consecutive finals. How about that, Tony? Back-to-back national championships, Clemson and Alabama. We're all here back where it started and back where it ended 1 year ago.
I tell you what, I watched that game last year, and I was so impressed by the game. And I thought, man, Clemson is going to be a team that coming back with all their starters. They were going to be, and they disappointed people this year, right? And yet, when it came to playoff time, they put the beat down on a very, very good Ohio State team. It was so funny. People are so crazy with this whole college football thing. Like, I had people, Ohio State didn't belong. They didn't belong. How do you figure they didn't belong?
I know.
They got beat. You're talking about after the fact. And not only am I so pissed off at people on how they react, you know what? I think I'm pissed off at humanity. Actually, it's 2017. I'll just throw it out there.
All right.
Human beings are the lowest form of any living species. I'd rather make love to a donkey at this point.
Why is that?
The Ronda Rousey thing was another thing that bothered me.
Oh, yeah.
People, when they went to Twitter, right, I don't know if it was poor management or not, because the bottom line is you get paid $3 million for the fight.
What is...
I think it's a donkey. I think it's a donkey.
So, I don't know if it was poor management, but, right, if you take 13 months off, you probably shouldn't fight the champion coming out of a long layoff like that.
But John Cena does it all the time.
that's not real.
That's true. No, that's true. So, but when you have a $3 million payday, how do you not say that? Like, I don't think she's necessarily done. Like, I think if she wants to fight again, people are gonna tune in, and she could cash $700,000, $500,000. Fight a lesser opponent and see what happens here. I mean, that was a bad situation on Friday night. And I'll tell you what, it was a great card, and it took away from the fight previous to that, which was a championship fight. It was an amazing fight. It was absolutely amazing. And I thought it was a great night for UFC. But people just killing Rousey on Twitter.
Yeah, they crushed her. She said she's not a draw anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit about her anymore. She's done. She's washed out. Go do your 7 movies she has lined up in 2017. Like, screw you. Like, whoa. This woman just took 13 months off. She came back. She got beat. Like, whatever. She made millions of dollars for this fight. Who cares?
People love to proclaim, like, the end of somebody who's, like, perceived great. I remember, like, I think Tony was talking about it when Buster Douglas beat Tyson. It seemed like there was like a national cheer.
But the only thing people love more than beating someone down is bringing them back up, right? Like the retribution, the comeback. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited for Rousey just to like say, screw this shit. I'm done. I'm going to go wrestle 4 times a year in WWE, make the same amount of money, and not get hurt. Right? Like, why wouldn't she do that, Tony?
Here's the problem I have with that, though.
Okay.
Is that she lost twice, and the glamour and the glitz is off to me.
Okay.
Like, does she still get the same money when she wrestles? Does she still get the same money if she appears in movies? Is she still going to be a draw after 2 back-to-back defeats?
Right. So that's the number one question. All I know is Brock Lesnar failed, like, multiple drug tests in a row after his fight. And then he kicked the shit out of Randy Orton, and everyone forgot about it. So, you know, I think she'll be okay.
Really? So You think that she needs to get all steroided up for the next
time? No. I don't think she needs steroids. I think what she needs to do is heal up, go to WWE, right? And I'm not even joking about this. Like, go there. She'll make $1 million for an appearance. She'll appear at WrestleMania. She'll look strong. And everybody will forget that she lost the real fight. She'll be this big superstar in wrestling. She'll do her movie. She'll appear when she wants. And everybody, it will just be forgotten that she lost her last two fights. And she'll just be remembered as this fierce competitor that she is.
Is it going to be Charlotte Flair?
And exactly. If it's Charlotte Flair, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We won't be able to go, woo.
No, you're going to just see her fall. You're going to see Charlotte. You know Ronda's not tapping in the figure eight.
No. She's not going to. Scotty Angle, do you ever have such a... What does the King Angle do on a New Year's Eve? What did the King do?
We just hung out at home this weekend.
Did you watch the ball drop?
Of course, yeah.
What channel do you watch it on?
We were flipping back and forth between Anderson Cooper and
Kathy Griffin, right?
And Kathy Griffin, who I find incredibly annoying.
Right.
And with the Dick Clark edition on
he's
Channel
dead.
7.
He's very
no,
dead.
No, I'm saying the Dick Clark edition.
So that's Ryan Seacrest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest, but it's still called Dick Clark.
It is. It's still called Dick Clark.
I grew up with that.
Used to
calling it that.
It's fair.
It flipped around that, you know, in some other channels. Like, for some reason, got hooked into watching, like, 4 episodes of Impractical Jokers.
I watched that on Saturday, too.
Yeah.
I watched a couple episodes of that Saturday afternoon.
I love that show.
It's very funny.
It's very, very funny.
It's very funny.
I think
funny.
We should do, like, an Impractical Jokers to, like, one of the hosts here on the set, like, contact these guys. Who's, like, unsuspecting.
We don't really have the money to afford them, I don't think.
It's
not the budget.
I got a retweet one time with Ryan Seacrest a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I was basically wrote that. How do you know you had a bad New Year's Eve is when you wake up next to Ryan Seacrest and he retweeted it.
That's pretty funny, I guess. What'd you do for New Year's?
I just hung out. I just hung out at the house and mm-hmm. didn't do much.
You guys, it seems very adult of both of you.
I was never a big go out on New Year's guy when I was younger.
Really? Scotty loved to make love on New Year's Eve in the younger days.
I went to Aerosmith a couple times.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I really never used to go out a lot when I was younger, but New Year's Eve, I didn't. I just felt like it was just too insane on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I love New Year's Eve because I think it's like an excuse for everybody to get like dressed up a little bit, like a little more dressed up than normal. You go out. As you get older, I feel like everyone kind of is doing stuff on the weekends. Like, you all used to hang out. But as you get older, I have found that like everyone's got shit to do these days, right? Like, you got to hang out with her friends and then her parents' friends and then her parents. And you don't just get to hang out and drink and have a nice time. So all my buddies and I and girlfriends, of course, went to a bar. Watched the ball drop, had a few drinks, and had a fun evening. The morning yesterday was not nearly as fun, but Saturday evening was a nice time.
That's cool. Halloween was my holiday for a long time.
Right.
Until a few years ago.
Why? What changed a few years ago? You got too old for it?
Well, you know, it's like one of my best friends who, you know, I used to celebrate Halloween with, you know, we would make a big deal of it. It's
right.
Just like... You know, he wasn't in a position to travel anymore, and
sure.
neither was I. Like, I'd go to Florida, he'd come to New York, and, you know, we'd do the Halloween thing. I would say till about 2009 or 2010, like, Halloween was like my holiday every year, even when I was an adult.
Right. Yeah, So that's what I would say. I think my holidays are New Year's Eve and Halloween. Those are the big two. Like that. Those are the big two, because my girlfriend loves Halloween. I really like New Year's. Those are our big two holidays in our lives. I say they're fun.
It's kind of crazy that neither one of you celebrate with any enthusiasm on Martin Luther King Day.
I know Corey takes off every year for that day.
I used to go to the Knicks like at every Martin Luther King
you
Day.
You still can.
Yeah.
Still can.
I used to get tickets like back in the 80s and the 90s. I used to go to like every Martin Luther King Day game.
That's still a tradition for you?
What?
It's a nice tradition for you?
No, because I stopped like going to NBA games like, you know, somewhere like in the early 90s, like on a consistent basis. But you know, I'm hoping, you know, to go to maybe a Knicks game this week and, you know, check out do some more scouting. You know, I've been watching a lot of basketball lately.
You have been, you get excited. You come in here talking about CJ McCollum this morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was very impressed by him last night. Kawhi Leonard like came back from that illness last night. He just looked off. He really missed some clutch shots last night. I've been watching the Hawks, like, you know, they're talking about trading Millsap now, and it's like he put on a showcase last night in case he goes somewhere else.
Oh, I can't imagine getting traded. Like, he is absolutely a top player. But Kawhi Leonard had to still be sick. That was a crazy.
Yeah, it looked like
there.
What did he shoot, like, 3 for 12 from the field last night?
Yeah. And Martin Luther King Day, I keep my Christmas tree up. I make it a Kwanzaa tree after Christmas, and that up until Martin Luther King Day. And that's when I take it down after that.
Fantastic. So, it's good to know.
Do you know about every state has, like, a Martin Luther King Junior Boulevard, it seems like.
Yeah, they do. There's a lot of them. Yeah.
I remember the one down in South Florida.
Do you think there's one of those in, like, Arkansas?
Yeah.
Probably.
I
feel like every state has one.
It seems like, though, it's not, like, loaded with thriving businesses on Martin Luther King.
Not in South Florida. There were a lot of businesses. There's everything from a Walgreens to a gentleman's club.
And with that, we take a break. You know, finding out where the jail gets close to Martin Luther King Boulevard means we should head to commercial. So when we come back, we talk about some of these coaches that were fired. We look to the playoffs, and I want to give you guys the opening up. Make Scotty and Tony guess the odds for Wild Card Weekend. It's a Wild Card Weekend update next on the Roto Experts.
And listen live. Find your favorite fantasy sports radio network shows on demand on iTunes.
Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Let's play a little game. Coming up later in the show, I'm going to get Scotty and Tony's, myself, give you our New Year's resolutions. So look forward to that.
I think we're going to retitle the name of this network. We call it the Game Show Network. It's like,
there's already a game show.
Every show I turn on now, it's like, it seems like we're getting more into the game show thing.
Well, it's not a game show thing. It's our New Year's resolutions fantasy-wise. It's a real thing. It's New Year's Day.
I'll turn on Target and, like, Jake Sealy's, like, piloting some sort of game.
Well, it's because it was Christmas week, Scotty. People play games Christmas week. There's nothing
I'm not saying
there's
anything wrong with it. I'm just saying, you know, that's a lot of it lately.
You're criticizing the content on the network.
I feel like if somebody's going to do a game show, it should only be Sussman.
Thank you.
Or Nando, or both.
Thank you.
I was going to say, Nando's the guy that started originally.
Yeah, yes. It is. Everybody else, well, Sussman does it really good, though. It's,
appreciate that.
The two of them are together, it's a lot of fun.
We have fun. We have some fun with it. Yeah. Guys, Wild Card Weekend is upon us here. Playoffs are set. I want you guys to guess, and this comes from RJ Bell here, opening odds, right? The spreads for these games. I think it's fun. The first game here, between Oakland and Houston. Scott, what do you think the spread is?
You don't know who's going to start a quarterback for both teams.
I know, that's what makes it so exciting.
I'm going to say Houston by 2.5.
Houston by 2.5 is the guess. Yeah. Tony Zingata.
I am going to say Oakland by 3.
Houston by 2.5.
I don't think Oakland's going to win, you know, with their current quarterback
Connor
situation.
Connor Cook?
I don't think it's happening.
Get up! Connor Cook!
Connor Cook.
So that'll be a barn burner, as I said, Tone.
So for the first time in 18 weeks, Scott Engel, the Hall of Famer,
King,
is going to tell you
King
that the Houston Texans have a better quarterback than any opponent they faced.
No, what I'm going to tell you is that the Houston Texans at least can survive via their defense and maybe their running game.
So you know,
and they're at home too. So you know,
so you're not going to commit to them having a better quarterback.
Well, Connor Cook might turn out to be better than Osweiler down the line. So I don't know if I should say that.
All right, 2-1. There you go. Minus 2. How about this one? The Seattle Seahawks. At home, in a matchup that they wanted against the Detroit Lions, Scotty, the Seattle Seahawks yesterday didn't look great against San Francisco. I know it was not, you know, like
I don't really think
they didn't look great though.
That game too seriously.
All right, I'm just saying they didn't look great.
They benched their starters with like 9 minutes to go.
Right, but what about before that?
With 9 minutes to go, that was 51 minutes of play.
Yes,
Scott,
you gotta admit they didn't look good yesterday.
You are a guy that comes on this show and now you're insulting people. You're a guy that says you never let your fanaticism for the Seattle Seahawks interfere with your work and fantasy community. And I agreed with that until just now.
I think they're one and out after.
The Stoddards played 51 minutes yesterday.
I guess the team that had two wins.
They didn't look too good early.
Then they
kind of turned it around and then they rested their starters
with 9 minutes to go.
The interesting thing is when they rested the starters, the game was still like only a 2-point game. I'm like, what are they doing here?
Yeah. No, I think I don't know this for a fact, but I think they knew the scores of the other games.
Yeah, they did.
They knew that. Yeah, and I think they knew that they weren't going to change. Because I agree with you, Scott. I was surprised they left Boykin in for the last series, and they didn't try to go out there and try
left
to
left him in for the last
sure
two
nailed.
Series.
Yeah, no, I when they put him in, I thought, oh Jesus, this now is a 2-point game. After the second series, you know, for the second series, do they go back to Russell Wilson? What do you do here? And then I was shocked that they came in with a 9-point lead, but I think they realized they weren't going either way. So.
Yeah, I think they'll beat Detroit and then they'll lose at Atlanta. So I'm going to say Seahawks by 3.5 is the spread.
Seahawks by 3.5. Tony!
I like Seahawks by 4, so I think Scotty's pretty close.
Okay.
It wouldn't shock me if Detroit beat them, but I think Seattle wins.
Seattle is a 7.5-point favorite.
I think the spread's too big.
Open as a 7.5-point favorite here. Interesting, right? So that's a big spread. Detroit, as you have said, Scotty, on this very show, they have come in and lost a lot of games here. There's really sputtered at the end, right? 3 games in a row they played playoff teams. 3 games in a row they have fallen.
Yeah.
Haven't beaten a good team in a while. Now go to Seattle. Tough spot for Matthew Stafford.
I think so. I mean, you know, like you said, this is a matchup that the Seahawks wanted. I think Russell Wilson's definitely playing better over the last 3 to 4 weeks. You can't blame him for anything, but the running game is unreliable. I'm like, who the hell is J.D. McKissick?
I don't know who that is.
He was starting at running back for them yesterday.
Didn't Thomas Rawls score yesterday?
Yeah, but J.D. McKissick like started the game.
Who is that guy?
They signed him off the Falcons practice squad two weeks ago.
What happened to Alex Collins?
He got in there late when they were resting the starters.
So he was just a backup.
Yeah, like who does J.D.? They don't have a dependable running game. They don't. The offensive line is like the worst it is in like the whole Pete Carroll era. They definitely miss Earl Thomas for sure. I think the team's just too flawed right now. I could see them going to Atlanta and getting it handed to them.
The Alex Collison is crazy because every time he steps on the field, he looks good.
Yeah,
he ran well. He's got good vision.
He
runs with he does that Roger Craig thing with his legs, like where he's high stepping all the time, and like if he hits a crease, he's got good speed too. Like Rawls was just like he was totally uninspiring yesterday, and I'm like, this is the friggin' 49ers.
That's what I was saying.
I'll give the 49ers credit, though. They came to play.
I really believe, guys, when it comes to the 49ers, right?
It's just with Kaepernick, it's just like, you know, if he's not running the ball, there's just not too much diversity.
No, so I don't blame Kaepernick. I really don't. So I look at Chip Kelly, right, and Ben McAdoo, for instance. And McAdoo has that, like, the diner menu as his play-calling sheet, right, as everyone says, like this 18-page binding thing that he uses, right? And you have like Scott Linehan in Dallas. He has this binder that he uses and he's got his play call. Chip Kelly, before he got fired yesterday, he has this thing that says S8, and we have no idea what the S8 means, probably nothing. And whenever you get a glimpse of the other side of that play sheet, and I've seen it before, there's like 8 plays total on there. Like literally, they run 8 plays total. Yeah. The Veer, I think. I literally think it's just Remember the Titans. Like, Chip Kelly likes to play fast. He's like, listen. And he's like Denzel Washington. And Remember the Titans. They're going to run 8 plays. They're going to run it to perfection. And they can't stop different variations of our 8 plays. And that's all San Francisco does.
But a lot of their plays get stopped. That's
That's the problem. And that's why Chip Kelly's no longer employed in San Francisco. I just thought it was ridiculous that it was like a college game where you know the offensive line and everyone gets set and they all look to the sidelines. Like, all right, what's the play now? It's a freaking college. It's like a college team.
Yeah. It's just like I was pulling my back hair out like during the first quarter and then
everything
turned
normal.
That's
disgusting.
After
that. I mean, it's pulling my back hair out?
Yeah, I can't pull about the hair in my head.
How about your beard? What? I was pulling my beard out.
No, I want to keep my beard, so.
You're,
if I pull my back hair out and I damage myself, nobody can see it because I can wear a shirt.
Ew!
You know?
I was pulling my back hair out last night. Next thing you know, you tell me you're pulling your ass hair out.
I haven't got to that yet.
Thank God. All right.
I saw the schedule for next year, though, so it might be a lot of it.
I saw actually just was looking at the Giants schedule for next year as well.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the game, Sussman. Giants Seahawks.
Giants Seahawks at MetLife. Yeah. Will you be providing the tickets?
I do not know about that. I can get a press credential for myself, but if it's like tickets, you know, I'm with the.
But you can't
people.
Cheer in the press box though.
That's what I'm saying. And when they played the Jets this year, I went to the game.
Right.
You maybe, know, like as a fan.
Maybe we'll go. We might be able to go. Maybe pull cool. that. All right.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. The line has changed since it opened. Pittsburgh is at home. They're facing the Miami Dolphins. Scotty, what are you thinking?
2.5 Pittsburgh.
2.5 Pittsburgh. Okay. Tony.
Pittsburgh still 7.
Pittsburgh opened at 7.5.
What?
And it is now up to 9.5. Against
Why
Miami.
Is the spread so... Well, maybe because Pittsburgh won 7 straight to close the season.
And they're at home, and Miami got blown out at home yesterday.
Miami beat them earlier this year, though. They doubled them up.
Yeah.
In Miami, it's a different team, different time.
I know, but like it's not like expected. But I still think it's not... I think that's too big a spread, though.
So you're putting your money down on Miami, then?
Yeah. If I was a betting man, I'd take Miami here.
Okay. All right.
I watched the game yesterday, and I just came out with the conclusion that Miami is the worst 10-win team in the history of football.
Yeah, they're very bad as a 10-win team.
There's a lot of flaws, including a backup quarterback. You have a defense that is not great. And Dominic Sue is a guy that, when he wants to, motors it up, but he's more impressed by having a couple of good plays each and every game. I think this team's terrible. I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers easily win this game.
Yeah, but when you're on a field with the Patriots, of course you're going to look terrible. They're nowhere in the Patriots class. I think they're, you know, what Parcells say, your record says what you are, you know. It's like, I think they can beat the teams they're supposed to beat, but when you put them on a field with a team like the Patriots, I wasn't surprised they got embarrassed.
I think you have a 10-win team in the AFC. That would be like about an 8-win team in the NFC. I think the NFC is just far superior this year.
And you got
AFC.
A team like the Lions. They're a playoff team. They don't quite look like a playoff team.
I'll tell you what. I don't discount the Lions. Like if you put the Lions and the Miami Dolphins together, I would take the Lions every time.
I agree.
Take the Lions over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would pick the Lions over both the Chiefs and the Dolphins. I agree with that, Tony, personally. I look
outside
at the,
of, well, you know, they got a pretty good passing game. They got no running game. The defense is full of holes.
Yeah, but Darius Slay's pretty good. Darius Slay held Jordy in check for a lot of that. No, he cannot. No, he absolutely cannot. But like, who do you have? But if you're playing Miami, you're playing Kansas City. Who do you really have to stop? You know,
Kansas City's better coach than the other two teams.
I don't know about that. Adam Gase is a very good coach.
Well, he gets a lot out of what.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
He has.
Exactly. Right.
I'm just saying, you know, the Chiefs are a number two seed, though.
You just don't respect my redneck friend Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter. they're number two seed, but you know they wouldn't have been a Derek Carr if Derek Carr was quarterback.
Andy Reid to make them a number two seed with the kind of talent he's done a nice job too.
Andy Reid has done a nice job, but if your team was facing the Kansas City Chiefs, would you be scared of Andy Reid? No. Absolutely.
That's
not.
The thing with the Chiefs. You're never scared of them.
No.
And then somehow they walk all over you.
Until they play the Patriots and they get crushed by 40.
Well, who do the Chiefs ever walk over?
Oh, Houston last year. Last year in the wild card.
Yeah, they walk over games. The thing is that when you look at the Chiefs, right, and Andy Reid's a crazy situation because we talk about Tony Romo and his failings when it comes to big-time games. How about Andy Reid? Is he going to be a guy? He made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But other than that,
they walk over teams
Super Bowl
during
appearance.
The regular season.
Made a bunch of NFC Championship games. He's gotten Kansas City to playoffs a few times in a row. You know,
New England might have such an easy path.
Easiest to, road I've ever seen.
To the AFC Championship game.
Easy pass to the Super Bowl.
They'll probably play like the Raiders or the Texans in the
They're
second
playing
round.
Houston, Oakland, or Miami.
Yeah.
Those are the only teams they can play. Round. That's insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
It's like they have two bye weeks.
Correct. Things are going well for New England. Take a break here. We'll come back. Giants, Green Bay, the main event, 4:40 on Sunday afternoon. Let me know. Give you time to marinate it in a little bit. Guess the spread. Green Bay in New York, right after
this. Hi, this is Eric Hinsky of the Chicago Cubs, and you're listening to Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Packers and Giants, 4:40 Sunday afternoon. This is, of course, after Aaron Rodgers, the Packers sitting at 4-6. So this team could run the table, go unbeaten, win the division. That's exactly what they did. They are now a home team in the first round of the playoffs, four seed, hosting the New York Giants on Sunday afternoon. Here you go. What's the spread, Scotty?
I'm going to say Green Bay by 3.5.
Okay. Tony?
Green Bay by 4. I think by 4 in this one.
Green Bay opened as a 7.5-point favorite.
Wow.
At home against the New York Giants. Money poured in on the Giants. It is now 4.5 for the Packers. 4.5.
I'm liking the points there. I really am liking the points there. I think it'll be a close game. I think it goes down to the wire, and I'll take the 4.5 points.
Yeah, you know, obviously Giants don't fear anybody. They won in Green Bay twice on their way to the Super Bowl. We'll see if they can do it again. New coach, new time. Odell Beckham's first playoff game of his career. So I think it'll be fun. After watching last night's game, though, Aaron Rodgers is unstoppable.
Yeah.
This dude is unfreaking stoppable. You cannot bring him down. He runs.
The most impressive thing is the defense tries to take one thing away. Like in the first half,
they really
try to take
Jordy
away.
They did in the first half.
So he starts throwing to the tight ends and the running backs.
Yeah. And Geronimo Allison.
Yeah.
It's insane. He's insane.
That's what great quarterbacks do. They make everybody around them better.
Yeah. It was a very impressive performance, I thought, by Green Bay last night. And you guys said it all along. I gave Detroit too much credit going into last night. I thought they were going to show up. I really, really did. I thought they were really going to show up last night. It didn't happen. Stafford goes for 347, two touchdowns, an INT, in a failed comeback attempt. Zach Zenner finally just carries the full load, the only running back to see snaps last night. He's in on 64 out of the 66 snaps. 20 carries, 69 yards here.
Also had like 4 for 40 in terms of catches.
He also had 4 for 41 in terms of catches. Scored a touchdown on the ground. Zach Zenner earned himself a job next year.
He's ran hard the last 2 weeks.
Did he earn himself a job?
No, because he's only done it for 2 weeks.
So that means we forget about these 2 weeks? They don't exist?
I'm not saying they don't exist, but he hasn't earned a job yet. He's going to have to do it again in the preseason or early next season because...
Well, if he does it early next season, he's earned the job.
No, I'm saying, you know, he's got to audition. I think he's still got to audition for it. They're not just giving it to him.
I think
he's one of the backs.
I agree.
But
he'll have an opportunity to seal it up, but he hasn't done it yet.
What I was going to say was I thought that with Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick, like Zach Zenner will be that third guy there, in my opinion. I think he has sewn up that particular. He has earned himself a job next year with this team.
They gave him the opportunity earlier this year, though. He looked very mediocre.
But then he got better. You know, then he simply got better. I personally.
I just don't think it's enough of a sample size to have the confidence.
No, playoffs on the line. I mean, he's one guy that has shown up, right? Like, we can definitely say that about him. He's shown up in these games.
Yes, he has.
Golden Tate's also showed up. 6 catches, 77 yards. Did score a touchdown, 10 targets. Here's an interesting one, guys. Like, where do you want Golden Tate next year?
In a PPR, certainly as a wide receiver, too. Yeah.
Tony.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think that's a great offense. Your boy, Jim Bob Cooter, of course, your favorite redneck.
Jim Bob Cooter!
How you doing, boy?
Oh, that's it?
Revenge game for Golden Tate this week.
That's right. Golden Tate returning to Seattle.
He's the perfect wide receiver, too. Like, you could get away if you, say, you in the first round, you got... Ezekiel Elliott, then he came back at Devonta Freeman, and if you started out Golden Tate after those two guys, you're all right there.
I agree. I like that a lot. I'm interested in Golden Tate next year. You know, he got off to a very rough start. Like, let's remember this, guys. He started the season, 7 catches for 41, 2 for 13, 4 for 40, 1 for 4, 3 for 39. Those are his first 5 weeks. And you thought, and people cut this guy. I mean, those numbers I just read you were awful. 0 touchdowns in those first 5 weeks. He did not have over 41 yards receiving in those first 5 weeks. And you thought this guy was done. Awful. And then he went off.
Yeah. Done might be awful. You're very harsh today, Greg. It's the new year.
Well, not over 40 yards here the first 5 weeks. I mean, it was fair to call him dead, right?
Scott, did you want to stick a fork in him? Did you want to put him on a cross?
I did.
I didn't like him in the preseason. After 5 weeks, I thought it was validated.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Obviously, he went off then and had a nice Golden Tate tape here.
Scott was the absolute Golden Tate hater of all time.
91 receptions, finishes with 1,077 yards, only 4 touchdowns. But a nice season by Golden Tate, who will be 29.
By the way, Jarvis Landry actually got himself to 4 touchdowns again yesterday.
We'll talk about Jarvis Landry, because I watched part of that game. So let's talk about Jarvis Landry on the other side of the break. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning in a new year on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number 2 of the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Sussman, Scott Angle, he's the king. Tony Cincata as well. Here on a new year, New Year's resolutions coming your way. You heard it at the top of Scott Angle's update at 8 o'clock this morning that David Johnson took this brutal knee injury, and it looked scary yesterday, right? Like he got totally rolled up. And without the MRI being done, the initial tests say the ACL is intact. A little meniscus issue, but that's not a big deal. I mean, that's a month or two, and it'll be fine to go for training camp. But really scary injury for David Johnson yesterday. We always talk about like who the first pick would be. And Arizona had gone out yesterday, tried to get David Johnson to 1,000 receiving yards, paired with 1,000 rushing yards, and just have this monster game. And he got taken out early. And that was, to me, that was a warning sign. And I wish the Giants would have taken Eli Manning out immediately, right? Because they have something to play for next week. Thankfully, I guess for the Cardinals, they do not. Scary injury for David Johnson. But as of right now, knocking on wood, he gets out relatively unscathed.
Over at InsideInjuries.com, our partners wrote a comprehensive article on this last night and said, if an MRI confirms it, meniscus damage, the recovery time can range from a few weeks if it's minor to 4 months if it's a serious tear that requires surgery. Many players are able to return to the field. That's much better than 9-month optimal recovery time for an ACL tear. Many players are able to return to field about a 6-month mark, but it takes close to a year to feel back to normal and fully trust the knee.
There you go. And that's if it's the most serious meniscus tear. I mean, as you said, could be you know, a couple weeks and he's fine. Hopefully it's one of those situations. He's back by training camp. Are you going to remember this,
yeah,
Tony?
They say if he avoided an ACL tear, he should be ready to go for camp. Yeah.
Right. So there you go. Tony, are you going to remember this on draft day? But we have to check Tony's audio there. Yeah. All right. You mentioned Jarvis Landry, Scotty, just a couple of moments ago. And Jarvis Landry gets to his 4 touchdowns on the season once again. And Landry went nuts after that touchdown, right? Like, taking the helmet straps down, taking the helmet and just tossing and getting the penalty. What the hell was that about?
I think I missed seeing that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, no. Wait, I did see that. It's just like, I don't know. It's like, The first thing I thought was, oh, this guy was best friends with Odell in college. Yeah.
That's the first thing you thought about. All right.
Yeah, it's the first thing I thought about, actually, in an amusing kind of way. But, yeah, he scored the touchdown, and then he threw his helmet off. But, like, the broadcasters were saying, well, you know, he was like, it was like he was out of bounds. Like, you know, why do they do that kind of thing? It's just like, it's the intensity of the game. You know, they felt like they were trying to come back there against New England. They were trying to use that game as some sort of measuring stick for themselves heading into the playoffs yesterday. And I think, you know, that's just, I go back to, like, you know, when Richard Sherman, like, went off about Crabtree in the NFC Championship game, and it stunned most of America. It's just like people don't realize, you know, the emotional intensity that's on the field, and when they see some of it closer up, it startles them a little bit.
Well, I just thought, like, he just went ape crap, right? Taking his helmet.
That's how football
it.
Players are, though. It's, you know, if he didn't throw his helmet off, you know, he might have been yelling and screaming.
Sure.
Some, like, I was watching some of the Steelers game, like, and there was a play late where Corey Coleman and Mike Mitchell both face masked each other, and they called the face mask on Mitchell, and he was right near the ref, and you heard him go, ah, like that, and he said, he touched my face mask. He plays Mike. Look at it. He touched my face mask. I think when people hear the intensity of the game up close or see it, they get a little bit startled.
Well, so here's where we disagree, because they took Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry scores a touchdown and literally just chucks his helmet 10 feet, right? And just slams it.
Yeah.
Mike Mitchell on the play that you're referencing, because it's the referee, and you heard the audio, which was awesome. He touched my face mask, sir. Please, sir, look at it. Please, sir, please. Like, wow. He wasn't cursing. He wasn't screaming. It was, please,
yeah.
sir, please. Please, sir. It was, oh, my God. This was actually so nice. I was like, oh, that's really nice of you, Mike Mitchell. That's why I took
it. I just, it didn't surprise me what Landry did. That's just the intensity of the game.
All right. I was just asking, yeah, I guess. Tony, did you see that play?
Yeah, I absolutely saw that play. I thought it was great emotion for Landry. A guy that couldn't get in the end zone through the last 2 years, caught a ton of balls, and it was a great receiving play. And I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it. I think, again, the NFL has a problem with everything that happens in the end zone. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, everything. You saw Devontae Adams get excited and dunked the football last night. That was an immediate penalty. NFL, not allowed to have fun. Speaking of wide receivers from LSU, you mentioned Odell Beckham here, Scotty. And Odell Beckham head-to-head with Josh Norman yesterday. And Josh Norman, say what you want about Odell and whatever he may have chirped yesterday, but Josh Norman went out and tried to get him pissed off and get him thrown out, and he got two personal fouls against him, Josh Norman. And we've killed Odell on the show. Got to give him a little bit of credit here today. He didn't retaliate.
No, he didn't. He got thrown out of bounds hard one time. And one time, it looked like to me like Norman actually like threw a punch at him.
Right.
Yeah, so... Josh Norman's getting a reputation as somebody who doesn't gain a lot of respect from opponents because the way he handles himself. Like, he really pissed off Dez Bryant a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you know, Josh Norman, like, definitely one of the better cornerbacks of the league, in the league, but he let his emotions get the better of him, and Odell Beckham was able to, remain relatively calm.
There are a lot of corners that talk trash, but in the end, you know, they kind of, you know, when the game is over, they shake hands, et cetera, and there's a level of respect there. I don't think Josh Norman is that type.
No. He doesn't respect anybody. Did you see Odell versus Josh Norman, too?
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, the first catch of the game, we had a little out-of-bounds hit there that people try to escalate into the next coming of, I don't know. I'm not big on wars, but I guess World War II or...
Right.
It was an interesting situation with two teams, you know, that were underachieving, lackluster. I thought it brought a lot of good to the game. I wish they had stayed out there together longer.
Odell Beckham says afterwards, of course, about the rivalry between Norman and himself. That has been dead for quite some time. Put that to an end. It was fun to be able to come out here and compete for the little time that I had. But like I said, if I sneeze wrong, it might be a problem. So I felt like today I did a good job just coming out, playing football, trusting the coach and his decision. After this scuffle, I mean, I'm sitting here watching the game, screaming at Ben McAdoo to take Odell Beckham Jr. out. And because I don't want him to get suspended, right? Do something stupid, lose his mind, get suspended for next week. And McAdoo did just that. Tony, given what you saw this week, how Jason Garrett played it with Dallas, how Ben McAdoo played it with New York, how Bill Belichick played it in New England, do you remember these for seasons upcoming? Like, all right, Belichick always plays his guy. So if I have Brady in week 16 and 17, I have nothing to worry about. Jason Garrett, you know, plays his guy for a little while. Ezekiel Elliott did not play yesterday at all. Okay, I remember that. Mike Tomlin doesn't play his guys. Ben McAdoo does just play his guys. Are you going to remember that going forward?
I think absolutely. I think of Bill Belichick, and like I always think about the Wes Welker situation where
yes.
people talk about, oh, they have things wrapped up, and he put a guy out there, and then he got injured. I think Andy Reid's another guy just like that, that
okay.
he'll always play to win if he's going to put a team out there, regardless of their record. Yeah, you have to remember these things.
I remember that from that year that New England went undefeated during the regular season. I remember they were hammering teams by a lot of points, and they would still keep the starters in there.
Yeah, and that's Belichick. He doesn't care. Brady played essentially the whole game yesterday. I mean, what was a blowout? Eli Manning had zero to play for, played the entire game yesterday. So I think when we try to figure out in future seasons what the deal is and if these teams are going to play, I think we can look back to what we saw here, and we can remember this, right? This is something we can highlight here, I believe.
Yeah, I think so, because you want to get a bean on what these coaches do. I think every year is different. Every situation is different. I didn't expect them to rest any starters. I was baffled last night, though, by Mike Cardano's tweet about he thought that the Packers and the Lions were going to, like, rest guys because they both were in the playoffs. I'm like, aren't you aware of, like, you know, the fact that one team, you know, goes on a road game and the other plays a home game?
Well, he was confused. You can't blame a guy for being confused.
I think he's just dumb.
That's not very nice.
It's the truth.
Wow.
Yeah,
you watch football and you're not aware of that?
Well, maybe he didn't know. There's a lot of people on Twitter that don't know.
One team wins the division and they get a home game. The other goes on the road to Seattle.
He wasn't
big
sure.
Difference. No, yep. He's just dumb.
Maybe he just wasn't. Tony, he's being a little harsh, no?
No, I'm not.
Oh, he's always been harsh. I mean, this is a long, long, long situation between him and Mike Cardano. Now, when you go back in, Scott Engel, what was the first time that you realized that you had to assault Mike Cardano on a constant basis on the radio?
When he started up with me. So if he's going to start, I'm going to finish.
You've kind of brought it up unprompted multiple times.
So he does it with me as well. He starts every Friday by calling me a ball-headed stooge,
right?
Which I take as a compliment, though, because he's calling me. He's actually calling me Curly. I mean, like from the Three Stooges, he's a legend.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
they take it as a compliment.
So
though,
he's giving
actually.
You this compliment every week. Why?
No,
are you...
he doesn't mean it that way.
But that's how you're taking it, and that's how it shall be.
You know, he starts up with me. You look at his Twitter. He says he's my arch nemesis. He's obsessed with me.
He's obsessed with you.
Yeah, look at his Twitter. It says arch nemesis.
We have now spent
Engel.
3 minutes talking about him, thanks to you. So, yeah. I don't know.
Well, see, this is the thing. This right. is the only way you can get on the radar. It's like through me, and I fall for it.
So you would say, Scotty, that you are easy to fall for things.
Not always, but in this case, it's just like if somebody else would have done, I would have pointed it out. But this doesn't surprise me because of, you know, the dimwit that he is. But, like, come on, you got to know this stuff.
Mm. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, it seems like a big rivalry between the two of you.
It's not much of a rivalry, though, especially if you look at, like, the fantasy results from when we played each other.
Well, it's one league, one time, right?
Yeah, but he created the league with the sole purpose of trying to beat me, and it didn't happen, so his entire season was ruined.
Okay. Ooh. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry for him, and that stinks, you know? That obviously stinks.
Not everybody can be as tactful and, you know, lovable as you.
That's very kind. Scott, that's very kind of you. That's not how you guys opened the show on Friday when I wasn't here, but that's okay.
Which one? Oh, Out of Bounds?
No, this show, and God knows you don't Out of Bounds. I meant here on this show. How'd you open Out of Bounds?
Oh, Cardano, like he said, it is Friday.
All right.
How do we open the show on Friday?
Oh yeah, I can't remember Friday morning. You just brought it up. He had a Sussman imitation to open the show.
Really? I'm gonna have to Pavona, if you can get me that clip.
What do we do on Friday? Open this show?
I don't know. I was told. I wasn't listening because I was sleeping. You have it already, Pavona? Or are you? All right. I have been told you opened it with a couple of takes on me. You're going after me the first 5 minutes of the show is what I was told via the Twitter.
I forgot.
It's okay.
Yeah, we forgot about it.
Yeah, it's okay. All right, let's
do it because I love you.
Let's take a break here, guys. I want to come back and I want to talk about these coaching openings. There's a lot of openings. I think we can mix and match here and connect the dots a little bit here on a Monday, January 2nd, 2017. This is the Road to Experts in the Morning here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I love the old cheesy sitcom music. As this one was.
Starring Greg Sussman.
Yeah.
Tony Cicada.
Jack Tripper.
Right? That's what I think of when you hear that one.
Produced by Chris Pavona. Created by Michael Cardano.
And then we all sit. There's another reference there. It's like 14 this far on a Monday. There you go.
I refer to everybody there.
Well, everybody's on the show except for one.
Well, somebody had to be the creator, you know. It's like I'm thinking like of the whole opening credit season sequence, you know.
I understand. So you're saying he created
executive
you.
Producer so Nando DeFino.
So you're saying he created you.
What? No, he created this show.
Well, you're on this show. So he created
he
even me.
My parents created me.
How'd that happen?
What?
What?
How'd my parents create
me? Yes.
It's kind of very personal for like, you know, national radio.
Well, we're friends.
I know.
How do you think they created me?
I'm asking you. I don't know.
They had intercourse.
Oh.
How do you know?
Yeah.
Did you ever ask?
I don't think I had to ask. Do you believe in the stork, Tony?
No. Every once in a while, like you go to a clinic and they put something in you and then you have a kid.
Yeah. I don't think that happened in this 1960s.
Hey. You never know. A lot of coaching changes coming. Around the NFL, Black Monday has been reversed, or is now what? Black Sunday and Black December, as Peter King put it. A lot of openings. I want to try to connect the dots to where we think people are going, where we think people are going to line up. And let's start with the first opening. That was in the Los Angeles Rams. And it's kind of been quiet since they fired Jeff Fisher about a month ago or so. We do know that Doug Marrone, St. Doug, is going to go out there and interview, I believe, today or tomorrow. We know they want to make a splash. We've heard Sean Payton connected there because Sean Payton likes hearing himself in the news, much like John Gruden. Tony, I'll start with you. Who do you think winds up in L.A.?
I am looking for, they're trying to make, a big hire, like the John Gruden types. So I think it's a Gruden, Nick Saban, somebody off the radar that we don't look at right now as taking a job right away. Bill Cowher be one of those guys. I think it's something big.
Yeah, I agree with Tony. It's going to be a big ticket item, sort of. I don't think Cowher's ever coming back. I think he's like Jimmy Johnson at this point, just going to stick in the broadcast booth. I think Sean Payton would be a great fit, though, because that team really wants like an offensive mastermind. And this is a guy that maybe could help Jared Goff in his career track and really, you know, put something into the offense here. You know, get a good defensive coordinator, et cetera. And I think Sean Payton would be the best fit.
Sean Payton hasn't made the playoffs in a very long time. Very long time.
This team, but he'll get the shot because of his pedigree,
right?
And because of the fact that they want an offensive mind, and what a more glamorous big name offensive mind is out there?
Well, that could be the guy that could be interviewing this week. Josh McDaniels says coming out, he will be interviewing with Los Angeles, Jacksonville, and San Francisco this week.
I think from a pure football perspective, thus those of us who know about football would think Josh McDaniels would be a great fit, but I think Peyton's a bigger name and. You know, it's a big market. You know, they want to have a name like that.
Well, I don't know. All I know is that Sean Payton's
a Super Bowl winning coach. You know, who's been associated with a Drew Brees offense for a long time.
But is that because of Drew Brees or because of Sean Payton?
I think it's, you know, the both of them fused together. I mean, you look at New England; it's Brady and Belichick.
Right.
You know, it's like people have said, like, the way to start a franchise is a good coach and a good quarterback.
But I don't know that Sean Payton, Drew, I mean, a good quarterback, even if you think Sean Payton's a good coach, he's going to go be with Jared Goff. And I think if he goes with Jared Goff, Sean Payton will be exposed greatly.
I don't know. I don't know. You remember when Sean Payton was with the Giants? The Giants had a pretty good offense.
He was stripped of his offensive coordinator duties.
It's a challenge for him, I think, to take on and see what he can do.
But with the Giants, he was stripped of his offensive coordinator duties.
You're saying the guy was never a good offensive coordinator with the Giants at all?
All I know is in the Super Bowl winning run, or Super Bowl appearance run, he was stripped of his job. I'm not saying he was a good offensive coordinator. I'm not saying at one time he wasn't this offensive mastermind that you're saying.
I mean, how did he get the job with New Orleans if that was the case?
Well, he went to Dallas first to be offensive coordinator between the Giants and New Orleans. But he hasn't made that Drew Brees.
Probably right. My memory's fuzzy on
that's
that.
That's fine.
I don't remember that thing again, him getting stripped. I do remember, though, him being like, when he was out there, when he got the job in New Orleans, that, you know, he was like this hot candidate because he was such an offensive mind.
Yeah, and he went to Dallas and did a nice job there. But the point was, you're right. At one point, he was an offensive mind. And we're picking apples and oranges, calling him a mastermind or not. Like, he's obviously won a Super Bowl. You're 100% right, Scotty. But I think at this point in his career, I'm not interested in Sean Payton. Like, this guy with Drew Brees in his prime or in his 30s, like, this guy's done nothing. You can blame the salary cap. You blame Mickey Loomis for doing a brutal job of putting a defense together. But outside of the dome, Tony, New Orleans hasn't been good offensively in a long time.
A long time. And they have some great skill position guys, right? We always want to get Michael Thomas in the lineup. We want to get Brandon Cooks in the lineup. We debate Kobe Flina, but it seems to not ever come to fruition. When you put them in these guys in your lineup, nobody puts a big game out there. So I don't know. Drew Brees, his contract's crazy, though. He gets $25 million next year. So that will be something that the Saints will have to contend with.
You want to talk about me guys? Drew Brees, a major me guy. Like he completely strangleholds the salary cap from them. He does not give a dime back.
He does a ton for the community out there.
Oh yeah. That's absolutely. Yeah. But he isn't. You know,
he's very locally loved. Like, you know, he's big in the community out there.
Well, sure, but he makes $25 million to do it. You know, it's not like he's taking, like Brady making $12 million here. He's making 25, making double Tom Brady.
You know, the whole thing is absolutely insane. When you think about all the love of all these athletes, the money they're bringing in, outside of their given sport, I don't know. I wish it was the same way in, like, fantasy sports.
Yeah. How so?
Like, we could get endorsements. Like, I think when you think about fantasy sports, right, we should be able to do, like, sweatpants endorsements. Because when I go to a FSTA convention or if I go to Tau Wars, there's a lot of guys in sweatpants.
You've done endorsements, Tony, though. It's, you know, I remember, like, certain daily sites, like, you know, they would put you there and you would basically endorse the game. So we've had our sort of endorsements.
I want to do, like, a Law Michaels sweatpants endorsement.
All right. Just moving on from that. Who do you think should be in New Orleans? I'm sorry, in L.A. here. Tell him.
I think it's going to be, for crazy reason, I think it's going to be Sean Payton.
You do.
Yeah, I really do. And it's insane to think, I think a coach from another team going another, we don't see this too often. I think it's going to happen, though.
All right.
For it to get credence that is actually even being talked about, I think it's going to happen.
Okay, fair enough. Jacksonville was the next opening that became available. Gus Bradley was fired. Doug Marrone, interim head coach. I don't think he's done enough to earn the job. Tony's your neck of the woods. Who is the next Jacksonville Jaguar head coach?
I don't believe it, but I think it's going to be Tom Coughlin.
Really?
Yeah.
Scotty.
I've been hearing that, too.
So you're sticking with that?
Yeah.
I will once again disagree with you, gentlemen. I believe Mike Smith will be the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He's the guy, actually. If Tom Coughlin doesn't get it, he would be the guy that I would point as a second guess. So I think you have an opportunity there because I can't believe that Tom Coughlin, someone would hire him at this point. But actually, the old Kansas City Chiefs coach, Jesus.
Todd Haley.
No.
Older than Todd Haley?
Schottenheimer? Oh, yeah.
Marty Schottenheimer?
No. Before that, he's in his 80s now. He declared himself wanting to coach again in the league.
Well, I did hear that Marv Levy said if the Bills ask.
Yeah, Marv Levy.
Oh, yeah. Marv Levy said if the Bills ask him to come back, he'll do it.
Yeah, he should hire Coughlin as his assistant so Coughlin can pay his dues.
That's right. That's a good point. That's how Coughlin be that offensive coordinator for him. Yeah. 91 years old, Marv Levy. Is.
Oh, 90. I didn't give enough credit. I thought he was in his 80s. He's 91.
91, that's right. Yeah.
I think we should put him in.
Well, let's go there next. Buffalo. Who do you think winds up as the Buffalo Bills head coach? Yesterday, Anthony Lynn shows up, gets demolished by the Jets. People still think it's his job to lose, Scotty.
That seems to be the ticket right now, that no matter what happened yesterday, that he was going through E.J. Manuel and Cardale Jones. So let's see what this guy can do. You know, maybe the front office is going to revamp things, get him a new quarterback, et cetera. So I think they're going to give him a chance.
I think it's going to be Anthony Lynn. I think it's a huge mistake by the organization, but it's going to be Anthony Lynn.
I think it'll be Anthony Lynn. I think it'll be one of these, like, one-done or two-and-done things. They're going to fire Doug Whaley next year, and it's going to be a disaster, right? Like, you look at San Francisco. We'll get to that one in just a second. But you look at San Francisco, where Trent Baalke should have been fired last year, or should have been fired 2 years ago before they let Harbaugh go and just let Harbaugh run the organization. They wanted Adam Gase. They bring in Adam Gase for an interview. Baalke says, you know what? This guy doesn't work for me. Let me hire Jim Tomsula instead. We know how that worked out. Then kind of gets pressured into bringing Chip Kelly in, giving him zero talent because Jim Baalke's a horrible general manager. Chip Kelly comes in with no talent, predictably wins two games. They finally fire Baalke. And then Jed York says, you know what? There's clearly the front office and our coaching staff not getting along. Let me fire this guy as well. So he totally changes everything, fires that entire organization. We'll get to them next. But I think similar things that happen in Buffalo. Like Anthony Lynn's hot candidate. I think next year comes in, it's a brutal year. He gets fired after 1 year because Doug Whaley gets fired also because he should be fired.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people out of work. I'm very sad about that. I think, you know, we have a new country, we have a new president coming on, and yet all these NFL coaches are going to be out of work. I'm very sad about it.
Yeah, it's the nature of what they do, though. They all know at some point that they'll get fired, except for Marvin Lewis.
I don't think Marvin Lewis should lose his job.
Marvin Lewis has never advanced beyond the wild card round.
Well, you know, Buffalo Bills fans would kill to be in the playoffs. They'd kill to have Marvin Lewis taken in the playoffs every year.
I was going to say, right, you're killing him because of his postseason record. You know how many coaches in the NFL never had a postseason?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that says a lot about the organization if you aspire just to, you know, advance to the wild card round and get zapped.
I'm not even saying that. All I'm saying is the fact that Marvin Lewis, Cincinnati, traditionally not a very good team, he has gotten them to the playoffs year after year after year. I know this year it was a misstep, but quite
it's
often
0-7, and that's his playoff record.
I understand, but he's done a better job than a lot of these head coaches, is what I'm saying.
That still doesn't make him an outstanding head coach, though.
When did I say he was an outstanding head coach?
You need a change in culture at this point, I think.
When did I say he was an outstanding head coach? You think he should be fired?
I don't think Cincinnati's going anywhere with him. I think you sometimes need a change in culture.
I don't think he should be fired. And they're also very cheap. They're not going to fire him.
Why shouldn't they fire him? What has he done to really keep his job?
Took him to the playoffs seven straight years.
What did he do this year? Yeah. It's
1 year.
1 year.
You are so crazy.
So if Pete Carroll loses this game against Detroit, should he be fired?
No.
1-and-done in the playoffs.
Pete Carroll's won a Super Bowl and been to two.
So?
It's a big difference.
I think you'd be very harsh on poor Marvin.
He's advanced past the first round of the playoffs.
Would you have fired Bobby Cox all these years for the Atlanta Braves? Because
how many times did they go
to
the World Series though?
Twice.
But that's why
they won one of them. This guy's 0-7 in the playoffs. He's never advanced past the wild card round.
That's what I'm saying. He won once out of 13 times being the playoffs.
This guy's 0-7.
Okay. 0-7, so give him six more times. He'll win a game.
I think so, too. I think he'll win a game.
I think he's kind of proved what he can't do already.
You're so mean, Scotty. You're so, so mean.
You are. You're being a little harsh on this guy.
For Tony to call me mean, that's a lot. I must be pretty darn mean.
Yeah. Marvin Lewis, I think that's the whole thing. I think I actually give the Cincinnati Bengals, who don't run a franchise in the proper way.
No, not at all.
By any stretch of the imagination, I give them a lot of credit for staying with one coach, because it's proven time and time again.
He's
been
there 13 years and he's done nothing.
No, he's had a winning record.
He's had a winning record, yeah.
Regular
season.
He's had
a winning record on a team with
a
low budget.
He can't take them past the first round. Time to move on.
They don't try to win. They don't pay anybody.
It's true. They don't try to win. All right. Who do you think ends up in San Francisco, Scotty?
They're hot on Vance Joseph for some reason.
Vance Joseph? Yeah, that's what you think? Okay, yeah. New GM will hire Vance Joseph. I can see that. I can see that. Tony.
I think Barry Switzer should get back in the game. I mean, the guy won a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, with a team that somebody else built, yeah.
Hold on. After Chip Kelly, right, he'd be the logical candidate to come in there and make things happen.
No, I think I should actually go back and hire George Seifert.
That would be George amazing. Seifert. Is he still alive?
Tom Flores.
Let's see here. George Seifert. Let me see here. Yeah, he's still alive, yeah. He'll be 70. He'll be 77 this month.
So throw him in there. I mean, it would be amazing to see something like that happen. I don't know. I think it's going to be Josh McDaniel or Kyle Shanahan. I don't think they go anywhere else. But it's crazy. I was thinking about this the other day. Is that can assistant coaches like turn down a job? Like when you think about it, oh, I want the right fit. Do you hold out and you say no to San Francisco if that's the job that you get?
I've heard assistant coaches do that before, say, maybe I'll stay where I am, et cetera.
Yeah, McDaniels has done that, obviously, right? So I've noticed that you guys have not given jobs out yet to Kyle Shanahan and Josh McDaniels, two of the more popular names on the market.
Yeah, Josh McDaniels is going to end up with the job. I'm not showing Kyle Shanahan.
You're not?
No.
How come?
I think he... Josh McDaniels is one of those guys that's had the job, failed, and I think a lot of people like that. Like, he got a second job. At least he knows what it's about. I don't know if that's going to be the case with Kyle Shanahan.
It's interesting. I think Kyle Shanahan has obviously had a masterful year in Atlanta with Matt Ryan, and a lot of this certainly was on Matt Ryan, but a lot of this is also on Kyle Shanahan. I think he's done a nice job. I think he's going to wind up with a job. I really, really do. I don't know where. Maybe, yes, I do.
It's time for Kyle Shanahan. It's been about 12 years for him as like a coordinator, et cetera.
You can lock this up. Kyle Shanahan will be the next coach of the Denver Broncos.
I could see that.
Mike Shanahan winning the Super Bowls there with John Elway as his quarterback. Shanahan still loved Denver.
Seems to make sense.
John Elway go out, hire Kyle. There you go, Tony. What do you think? No, because he hates it.
What do you think of Josh McDaniel in San Diego?
So I said that. I said that last week on the show. Yeah. That I think Josh McDaniel in San Diego makes sense to me. Yeah. And Tony didn't like that, right, Tone? We lose Tone?
No, I thought it was the last thing I wanted to hear.
Huh? Right, I guess it's...
He didn't like it.
I guess we lost Tony. All right. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan, Denver... McDaniel, San Diego, totally agree with you. The only question is, Scotty, will Josh McDaniels want to deal with a move to L.A.? That's going to be the question, right? Is he going to have to do that? Figure it out. But in general, I like that spot for him as well.
And it is Indianapolis, maybe.
Well, all the jobs we've mentioned are actually available. Yeah. We don't want to give out jobs.
If Indianapolis becomes available, what about Josh McDaniel with Andrew Luck?
Oh, yeah. Josh
McDaniel. We talked about Sean Payton with Andrew Luck, too.
McDaniels will run to that, right? McDaniels will run to that spot for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, we take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more NFL news, wildcard weekend this weekend. New Year's resolutions coming up next hour. Stick around. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here on the Roto Experts talking some foosball with you.
Foosball is the devil.
I guess that was a Waterboy reference?
Yeah.
Okay.
You said foosball. That's the first thing I thought of.
All right. Fair enough. Let's talk about football. Tony, lost you there for a few moments. Wanted to get your thoughts on Kyle Shanahan to Denver, since Mike Shanahan was a legend there. Legend. And Josh McDaniels to San Diego, which I know you weren't hot on last week. So wanted to get your thoughts on those two.
You know what's crazy is that Mike Shanahan's still a name that comes up in some of these jobs, and he's had his kid coaching. Like, it's the craziest thing, right? You have a dad and a kid competing for jobs.
Right. So what do you think of Kyle in Denver?
I don't know if – see, John Elway is a guy that he brought in, guys that he's familiar with. So I don't know their relationships, and I kind of wonder how that's going to go. When you have a Super Bowl team and they come back year after, I just wonder if this if it's going to be someone from the staff that they'll bring in and give that job to. I don't think it'll be Kyle Shanahan.
Okay. And McDaniels in San Diego?
That would actually be an interesting fit. The only problem is, what happens when the quarterback's older than the coach?
Right, and that's what you asked me last week, and that was the response. And I thought that McDaniels would like the opportunity to probably go out in L.A., San Diego with a solid roster, getting healthy, and getting all these guys back. I really think, unless Indianapolis becomes available, and maybe Denver too, like San Diego and Denver clearly just have the most talent, and they can just get these guys healthy. McDaniels could improve this team pretty quickly.
The Indianapolis job, to me, would be the number one job
right.
to get
yeah.
When it comes to coaching. And Denver, they're only a year after Super Bowl. You have that great defense, just some quarterback play. That's all. But this league is all about the quarterback. When you think about all the teams that are in these playoffs, you got to have at least a decent quarterback. You got to have a top 15 quarterback, I think, to succeed, with the exception of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Texans just lucked out in the division they're playing in.
Three years in a row making the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I think it goes
four
away
out of
next,
six.
Crazy.
Next year with Mariota improving.
Well,
maybe luck, you know.
If Mariota gets back
around healthy,
if luck comes around with new head coach Josh McDaniels in there, Jacksonville will have a new head coach. People will be on that. Do you think, Tony, that with a new head coach in Jacksonville, another year with the defense getting a little bit older, and maybe some coach that people like it won't be Mike Smith, right? But let's say Josh McDaniels goes to Jacksonville, right? Do you think everyone's going to be back on Jacksonville again like they were this year?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
I really do. I think they'll be like the chic pick.
Yeah.
When
everybody
puts their prognostications together in a division that we have to win possibly 9 games to get in the playoffs. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's 100% what I think. I completely, completely agree that they'll look at the Raiders and be like, why can't Jacksonville play the last place schedule again next year? So you're facing who? You'll be facing the Jets, they'll face the Chargers, and they'll face the, what am I missing? The Browns. So those are the teams you're facing, and then one whole division in the AFC, one whole division in the NFC. They will look at the Jaguars, be this trendy, chic pick, and you'll be in on them again. Just like that. And in a terrible division, we will be able to sell ourselves on Jacksonville riding the ship and going to the playoffs.
I agree. I agree 110% that people are going to buy into that. But for me, if they make a change in Indianapolis, it's going to be tough to take down the Colts next year, never mind the Titans.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Titans, you know, I think, you know, at times they look like the best team in the division.
For sure. Yeah. I think a lot of us thought that. But you know what's crazy? I know it's maybe stupid to say, but I look at this division, and if like, things go like the right way, I feel like this division will be pretty competitive and fun next year.
Here's Jacksonville's opponents for next year. At home, they obviously have their division, Houston, Indianapolis, Tennessee. They play Cincinnati, Baltimore, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Chargers.
So they play all right, so then that means they play They play the AFC North and the NFC West. Is that what it is?
Yeah, away they have Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Arizona, San Francisco, and the Jets.
It's a pretty easy schedule, right? Besides the Seahawks game
and the Pittsburgh game,
Scotty.
It's not bad.
Coming out to Jacksonville,
Arizona.
To watch the
how do we know that?
No, I don't. I'm just saying that's not like that schedule doesn't exactly like scare me all that much. We have no idea the schedules, obviously, now. Scotty, you realize you can go see a game with me at MetLife and then fly to Jacksonville and see a game with Tony in the pool.
That's interesting.
And it'll cost you less money to probably get a plane ticket and a ticket to the game in Jacksonville.
Can you get a Jaguars ticket, Tony, if I come down?
Oh, yeah. They're pretty easy to get.
This is what I'd rather do, though. It's The Seahawks face Washington, Philadelphia, Houston, Indianapolis, and Atlanta at home. I want to go to a home game.
You want to go to a home game?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can do all three. Just make it. Make 2017 the year of Scotty Love. The revival. Scotty, man.
I'd like to go to Atlanta, Seattle at Seattle.
Scotty, this year, may I ask your age? How old are you going to be this year, 2017? I know your birthday just passed.
51.
I wasn't sure if you turned 50 this year or it was 50 in 2016 or turning 50 in 2017. You should go on this revival tour. The Scott Angle revival tour. I like it.
Here's the
I don't
thing
know if I have
Sussman,
the finances
like,
for it, though.
Yeah, but Sussman was asking, like, how old are you this year? Because he don't think you have too much longer.
That's not why. No. Don't twist it. Yeah. I want it to be.
That's how it sounded.
I want it to be the Scott Angle Revival Tour. You can see the Seahawks in New York, in Jacksonville, and in Seattle. I thought that would just be like the ultimate. And I thought he was running 50 in 2017. And the perfect 50th like year-long birthday present, you know?
Yeah. See the Mets in PNC Park.
See the Mets in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who you're going to visit there, but Michael Waterloo. You go visit Michael Waterloo in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got a user who follows us on Twitter who's always invited me to the games.
So there you go.
Yeah,
a user?
Season tickets,
a user.
Yeah.
I think you're the one that would be using him.
Don't twist it, Tony. Don't twist it.
No, that's what you said.
You did say he's a user of our site.
You could just say like a customer.
Oh.
Yeah, well, you get
or
the picture.
A listener, a friend. You say everyone's a friend of the program, whether they're friends or not.
Barry Shaman, I think, is his name.
Are they dropping names here?
Yeah.
Oh, the name's a lot better than user.
Yeah.
Barry the user.
Yeah.
What do you think he uses?
Pittsburgh
drugs?
Pittsburgh's a great ballpark to go and watch a game.
I've been to Heinz Field.
You have?
Yeah. I like Pittsburgh because you take the ferry over to the game. Eat at Primanti Brothers.
Do you
like the ferry?
What do you think of the Scott Angle Revival Tour 2017? Are you in on it?
I like the idea, but I don't know if I have the funds to finance the Revival
Tour. Well, the lottery is $107 million this week. You win that, you have the
That's
funds.
That's true.
Just saying.
That's true. Maybe daily NBA millionaire maker or something like that.
Do you think you have a better chance of winning the lottery? Really?
Yeah, or, you know, winning a few $100,000 on DraftKings.
Yeah, so, you'll be playing DFS this week. You're getting back DFS NBA this week.
If I win, like, a significant amount on playing daily, I'll do the Revival Tour.
I love it! Scott Angler, we make t-shirts? I'll buy one.
Yeah.
I'll buy a t-shirt.
The Kiss Cruise.
I don't want to go on the Kiss Cruise.
Kiss Cruise.
No, it's my
it's
tour.
Your Revival
you know?
Tour. When, when is the Kiss Cruise?
They do it, like, every November.
The Kiss Cruise, well, we might have the Giants Seahawks game or Jacksonville Seahawks game in November.
Well, you know, if I go to a home game, it's all good.
We got to go all three. It's the Scott Angle Revival Tour.
Yeah, that's true.
Got to do all three. Try to get the Kiss Cruise in there.
You got to make t-shirts with dates. And
yeah, of course. Right.
Yeah, like a World Tour t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. We got the, we go to Vegas, but Kiss Mini Golf.
Yeah.
Right?
I like to go to the Super Bowl.
Only if the Seahawks are in it.
I just like to go for the whole experience.
Well, maybe you can get a credential for it.
Yeah. I like for FNTSY to be on Radio Row. I'd like to go to spring training.
This is your Revival Tour is working?
Yeah.
It's spring training
doesn't necessarily mean working.
Oh, that's fine. What are you talking about Radio Row?
Radio Row was hell of a lot of fun, though.
Yeah. You interviewed Dan Marino.
Yeah.
I know.
Rocky Blyer.
Rocky Marciano, right?
No, Rocky Blyer.
Oh, whatever.
Former Steeler.
All right. Is he related to Richard
Steeler
Blyer?
Steeler legend.
All right. That's great.
Yeah.
How about Jenny McCarthy?
You could.
How about your girl Mariah Carey?
How about your girl Mariah Carey on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, she was pretty pissed off at the sound.
Yeah, let's take a break and come back with that.
She was pissed off.
What?
She was pissed off because she wasn't singing and she got caught.
She said her plan was to like do what a lot of other artists do is to sing over the track.
And then
she was going to do, but she couldn't hear anything in her earpiece.
Oh, do you believe that shit?
I don't know whether to believe it or not.
But she told people to sing along
I haven't seen anything like that ever happen to her before, so I think there's maybe some reason to believe it.
Because she was unprofessional.
She was incredibly unprofessional, actually. Yeah. They had a track with the music, the Sweet Emotion, and she couldn't play it. She couldn't sing. She couldn't do it.
She said she couldn't hear the track.
Oh, she heard the track just fine. She told everybody else to sing. Everybody else could hear it, but she couldn't.
I don't know what was going on there. I watched the video kind of baffled, to be honest.
Baffled because she was not prepared to sing.
She was prepared to sing. She'd rehearsed for 3 hours. She's saying
evidently not that song.
She said the earpiece. Well, obviously she knows the song. She's done it a bazillion times.
I don't think she does.
She sings it every night in concert.
No, she clearly doesn't sing it. She plays it every night in concert.
She was either drugged or drunk or something.
Yes.
And she just forgot everything that was going on.
She forgot everything. She had these weird dances. She put the microphone in the crowd. It was awkward and uncomfortable.
It was.
It was crazy. It was the craziest thing that people were comparing Mariah Carey to a lackluster effort, and she got chumped in with Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, I saw that. There were signs of the Jet game yesterday comparing her to the Jets. Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
I really don't think I know what the real story is here. Everybody's speculating.
Do you think, Tony, that Scott is more objective about the Seahawks or Mariah Carey?
This is crazy, right? Because Scott's way over the top on the Seahawks, but Mariah Carey, he is honestly...
I can't believe you're defending her.
What I'm saying is I don't know what to believe here. I'm not defending
her. Just why
her.
You watch the video.
I'm not. You're just... I watched the video. You're just launching into rip here.
I am launching into rip.
I'm trying to determine what the issue is here. I haven't made a determination. As for the Seahawks, I agree with you. They didn't play well early on.
Well, you came back. Once we talked about it, you came back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So New Year's Eve, I didn't do much. I just hung in the house, didn't do anything crazy. But I ended up flipping the channels, and I find this Mariah Carey reality show, right?
Yeah,
right.
Mariah's World.
Hold on. She showed up at a concert an hour late because she didn't know that there was a time difference in Luxembourg. It was an hour difference from London. Which she was, but and then I was like, well, why wouldn't you get there earlier than that? Like, how did they become an hour late? Like, you don't just show up at the concert. So I think she regularly doesn't rehearse. I think she regularly doesn't have a plan. And it finally all caught up to her.
I think if you watch that show, Mariah's World, I think there is a lot catching up to her, because right now her whole management team and everything behind the scenes is very disorganized.
This is very interesting. So you watch Mariah's World?
My wife does.
My wife does.
I haven't had the time.
Come on, Scott. I admit it.
No, I haven't.
Scott, I admit it.
Hold on.
Be a man.
Come on.
Hold on. I haven't had the time to watch it. I do want to watch it. But I haven't had the time
to watch
it.
You just telling me about it. If you watch that show, Mariah's World.
My wife fills me in on the show.
Okay.
You know, because she's a fan of Mariah just like I am.
Right.
You know, it's... she's told me that there's a lot going on behind the scenes that is like broken down, and like Tony said, probably like, you know, is creeping into the performance. It's like,
so you're saying that you're believing in storylines on a reality show now.
What's that?
Huh?
Yeah. Well, if you see it when the reality show is true,
it's not.
And then
you put it together
on what happened on New Year's Eve. It kind of makes sense.
Hey, let's take a break here. I got to digest this a little bit. We got to digest this.
That's what I've been doing. I've been trying to digest this whole thing, and I don't know where to go on it, actually.
I'm going
to
digest the next 2 minutes, and I'm going to come up with a solution, because I only need to digest this for 2 minutes, and I'll have one. Take a break. Road Experts in the Morning comes back right after this.
Lester Holt, Scott Pelley, Katie Couric, and now Greg Sussman. Bringing you the news... and nothing but the news every weekday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
After 2 minutes here, I have I've thought about this Mariah Carey thing. I'm coming to the conclusion she's a fraud. I think she's a fraud.
I can't disagree.
In what respect?
In the respect that on Saturday night, this is my belief. right? It's my belief in digesting over the last 2 minutes during the break, mm-hmm. that she came out. She had this pre-planned stuff, right? And she had this backing track with vocals, and she was just going to sing over it.
Right.
And she couldn't sing on Saturday because she didn't remember, for whatever reason, the words to her own song. And she forgot the words to the song, and she could just not sing without the track. She said, I mean, she said it with the mic, you know, she did not, we didn't rehearse this. This is the wrong track playing. And it was uncomfortable, and she forgot all the words to the song. You could say she froze, and you could say that, you know, it's cold, and she didn't prepare like that, so she was confused, which I believe. But I believe in that moment, she was fraudulent. And it's not the Mariah Carey that I remember, had this amazing voice and this can do anything. I don't believe any of that anymore. It's a bad, really bad
look
for her.
I disagree on one point with you.
Sure,
I don't think that she doesn't know the words to the song, because she's been singing on stage for many, many years.
Right.
I disagree with that.
So then why couldn't she sing the song?
No.
It could have been the earpiece growing up. It could have been a technical issue. It's hard for me to believe that she doesn't know the words to the song when she sings it on tour every single night.
She doesn't sing it on tour every single night. That's the thing. She sings it over another track, right?
That's the exact same thing she was going to do in the weekend.
Right, right. So the problem was, without the track like reminding her of the words, she couldn't remember them. That's what I'm saying.
But she couldn't hear the track.
No. So why did she give the mic to the crowd who could hear the track? If the crowd could hear the track and the dancers behind her are all doing the moves in correct spots as they rehearse, why couldn't she sing it?
I'm confused here.
Okay.
I'm confused here. I'm legitimately
confused
here.
Right.
Okay?
Yes. So there's a track playing, right?
She was going to do the same thing on New Year's Eve that she does
every night.
Every night.
Yes. Right.
And sing over the track.
Yes. Correct.
If she's in concert, she could hear the track in her earpiece.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
If she couldn't hear it in her earpiece, Joe Pisapia was talking about this on the Sunday show yesterday. He said, I've worked with an earpiece. It's not easy.
Right. Sure.
If the earpiece is screwing up, how can she sing along like she usually does if the earpiece is screwing up?
Well, the problem was her dancers were all doing the correct dance moves.
Right.
Yeah.
Hearing the same music that she is. Right? They do the right dance moves. She put the microphone in the crowd because the crowd can hear it.
Well, the crowd can hear it coming out of the speakers.
Okay. But what about the dancers? Dancers are all hearing the same thing, right?
I don't know.
She was the only one that was screwed up.
I can't account for
that,
though.
Was Mariah Carey. They played the wrong track. She forgot the words. She can do it.
How can you forget the words of a song you sing on stage every night?
Alcohol. Drugs.
Drugs.
And being fraudulent.
That's a broad brush.
Take a break here. New Year's resolutions this hour.
On the Video Roto Don't Experts, Lie.
On the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.